Are there powerful organizations working behind the scenes today? Are they directing the destiny of our nation? If such forces do exist, can we hope to know anything about them? Welcome to Radio Liberty, featuring the commentary of Dr. Stanley Monteith. Dr. Stan is a retired orthopedic surgeon and student of history. 35 years of studying the perilous condition of liberty here in America has given Dr. Stan a unique insight into what's really happening in our country today. Learn the truth about the dark spiritual forces undermining both Christianity and freedom here in these United States. Let's join Dr. Stan for today's commentary.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty and coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And right now, of course, we have with us Joel Skousen, a special guest this afternoon. We're going to be talking about a lot of interesting things. We're going to be talking about what's going on in Latin America, which, of course, will have a profound impact on the United States, and yet most people really have no grasp of what's transpiring. Joel writes the World Affairs Brief, and we'll tell you a little later how to get that, but I will tell you that every week when it comes on the Internet, why I read it to from beginning to end, because it's one of the most insightful appraisals of what's going on. Joel, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Stan, for having me.
Well, why don't you tell us your take on what's going on? You can talk really whatever you want to, but I know you wanted to talk about what's going on in Venezuela, what's going on in Brazil, the fact that we have all these Marxist regimes moving in there, when, of course, the American government doesn't seem to be able at all to do anything about what's going on, and maybe we shouldn't. Maybe we ought to let the people in that area determine the course of their own events. But what's your take on what's going on today?
Well, you know, that argument that you just expressed in the last sentence has been the rallying cry of many leftist organizations coming to the defense of Venezuelan Marxist leader Hugo Chavez. And, you know, they said, you know, this is a democratically elected leader. Well, they made a lot of that, but we really don't believe in raw democracy, and the majority of people can be wrong. It isn't their right to elect a Marxist president who will take away the fundamental liberties and property rights of the productive class. It just isn't right, even if the democracy wants it. Now, in this case, we have a repentant democracy. They want him out now.
Well, of course, if they had republics and we were pushing Republican forms of government instead of democracies, which so could easily become or so readily become dictatorships, we wouldn't have the problems. But we always seem to be pushing democracy, and as Plato said, democracy always descends into despotism.
That's right, and that's because democracy uses, when you have to play for people's votes as the only issue, then you are going to give that which people want, which always ends up being some version of socialism, because socialism appeals to, in the bell-shaped curve, the majority of people want something that gives them a greater advantage over what the free market will give them. And the free market is a very ruthless master. It puts everybody's judgments against another judgment. No one has the force of government, so what you get in life over time, doesn't happen immediately, but over time, is what the free market views as your just reward, and according to your true worth and your specific skill worth and your general worth, all of those things lumped together, you're going to tend in the free market to get rewarding according to that. Socialism, on the other hand, entices people by the concept that we all deserve the same rewards, regardless of our worth, that we're all created equal, we are equal, and therefore we should have equal results. And that's the message of Marxism and communism. They cannot deliver, however, on those promises. Chavez in Venezuela has not been able to deliver. And so he's even lost the support of a good portion of the benefit-corrupted majorities that voted him into office.
Well, of course, the thing is that the theoretical socialism and communism have nothing to do with practical socialism and communism, which, stripped of all our idealism, end up being an elite system with a small oligarchy ruling the masses. And, of course, the redistribution of wealth is the people's wealth, not the oligarchy's wealth.
Well, that's very true. It's interesting to watch how every communist dictator who campaigns on the promise of we're all together, we're all going to be living the same lifestyle, ends up living the luxurious lifestyle of the nomenklatura, as they call it in Russia. The elite ruling class tends to live in luxury, albeit in secret many times. Fidel Castro has a luxurious lifestyle, even though he gets out with his old pea-green army uniform every time he gets on television. But nevertheless, this is a phenomenon that occurs in Latin America more than other cultures, because they have a very large bell-shaped curve, a bigger camel hump in the middle of the curve, if you will, which represents the large bulk of people are of the type that cannot see through sophisticated charades of promises. They're very susceptible to benefit corruption. They have a very relatively limited middle class and relatively limited exposure to free market economics, although that's increasing through the marvelous effect that Francisco Marroquin University is having in Guatemala, El Salvador, and other Central American countries. It's a real free market libertarian university that has trained a great deal of the business leaders in Central America, so they are under attack right now by our own embassy. Has put out a white paper condemning the Marroquin University. That follows my experience in Latin America, where I found that the U.S. State Department essentially says any government you want, as long as it's socialist.
Right, and of course, what I think the average American doesn't understand is we push socialism all throughout the world, all the time talking about democracy.
Yes, and we have a Project Democracy, a huge foreign aid funding scheme each year that supposedly is to promulgate democracy and among the Latin American countries, but I found in dealing with helping to create free market political parties in El Salvador that the opposition was being funded by Project Democracy, and it was funding that was going to socialist candidates or candidates hoping to infiltrate the right-wing parties so as to pull them more toward the center, as has happened to our own Republican Party here in the United States.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Venezuela now. There seems to be a great deal of civil unrest there, isn't there?
Yes. Going on 7 weeks now, a general strike. This is a paralyzing general strike. All of the refinery capability is shut down. Most of the businesses are not operating. The banks are open only 3 days a week. A lot of problems.
We're going to have to interrupt you, and we'll be right back here with Joel Skousen in just a moment.
This is Radio Health journalist Bill Sardi. Hey, a lot of smart supplement users like to check out the facts before they purchase an herbal product. So go to www.lifespannnutrition.com and read all about Alamax, the new odorless, 100% pure allicin garlic extract imported from Great Britain. You'll find Alamax is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh, crushed garlic. Check it out at www.lifespannnutrition.com or call 866-405-4000 to learn more about this breakthrough in garlic technology called Alamax. Call 1-866-405-4000 today.
Okay, this is Dr. Stan, and then I wanted to remind you, if you're feeling sort of run down and, oh, you just need a lot more energy, give serious consideration to trying the Be Alive Royal Jelly products. I've taken them for 8 to 10 years. My wife has as well, and we're very, very pleased with them. This is basically a nutritional supplement. It comes from the beehive. It's what the queen bee eats, and she lives about 6 years, and the rest of the poor old bees, they only live about 6 weeks. So if you'd like to try it, give them a call at 866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500. And we hope that you will give them a try. They've got a lot of other good products. If you take them for 3 months, and you really have to take it for 3 months before you're absolutely certain whether it's helping or not, but at the end of 3 months, you don't feel that you're really dramatically improved, give them a call at 866 1-833-7500, and they'll refund your money. Now, I can tell you that not very many people ask for a refund because most people feel better. They have a lot of great products. So talk to the people at Royal Jelly. Be Alive Royal Jelly at 866-233-7500 and do it right now. Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Joel Skelton. We're talking about what's going on in Central America. And to the average American, I mean, who could care less about what happens in Venezuela? But you really should begin to care, because you'd be amazed at how much of our oil comes from Venezuela. We're not getting that much from Saudi Arabia or from Iraq, but we're getting a lot from Venezuela. And, of course, if we go to war with Iraq, and, of course, there is an interruption of the oil supplies coming from the Middle East, and then, of course, we're not getting oil from Iraq, this could begin to have a profound impact on your life right here in the United States. And then we should be worried about the fact that the communists, and they call them socialists, call them communists, call them what you want, they are all part of this worldwide movement. If you believe communism is dead, why, of course, you are incredibly foolish. They're there, they know what they're doing, they're organized, and they've bamboozled the American people with the full help of the American media, with our American educational system, and most of our American leaders. So why don't you pick up from there, Joel? And if you disagree with what I said, just speak up. I know you will.
No, actually, I agree with what you say. The basic topic of last week's World Affairs Brief was on the fact that there's another Marxist leader rising in Venezuela and Ecuador, which we'll talk about, Lucio Gutierrez, but continuing with Venezuela right now, Venezuela is really the hot spot because I'm afraid that the opposition, who has had started out so strong, is wearing down and wearing thin in terms of the people's tolerance to handle the fact that there's no gasoline at the gas stations and the banks aren't open and people just can't live. In other words, they're having to sacrifice all of their lifestyle for what is appearing to be a losing battle now. Chavez has effectively, it's kind of like term limits, you know, only the conservatives quit after 2 years after promising to term limit themselves, and as in that case, we just lost a lot of conservative Republicans. None of the liberals decided to term limit themselves. In Venezuela, the best of the military, who were very much in favor and backed this coup last April, where Chavez was briefly taken out of office, the U.S. failed to support the coup, however, and it collapsed. Those officers were all purged in the interim period, and so up to 300 of those have quit and resigned. And so when your best officers resign, you have only the military and police forces in the hands of the pro-Chavez forces. So no matter how much you protest, can't get him out of power when he controls all the weapons and when the United States is not intervening directly. In fact, no overthrow of a government occurs in Latin America without the U.S. silently at least giving the nod, so that people have the confidence to be able to go to other officers and say, I've got the backing of the U.S. government, let's get rid of this guy. The U.S. is not giving that backing here. It's playing what appears to be even-handed, but it's not. Unless you actually back this revolution against a communist, he won't fall because he's got all the power. And now the people are starting to turn against the opposition just because they're getting weary and they don't see an end in sight. The Supreme Court has ruled against the opposition's proposal, which was to have a voluntary referendum come up in February, hoping to embarrass Chavez into resigning by showing the overwhelming support of the people is against him. Now, of course, the Organization of American States, the U.S. State Department, everyone's calling for a constitutional, peaceful solution, observing the democratic will of the people. Really, while that appears to be even-handed, it isn't. Because, according to the Constitution, which they're requiring that the opposition abide by, you can't have a real referendum on the presidency, a recall election, if you will, until next August. And so they're stuck with him for the duration. And so while Chavez blatantly violates the Constitution by intervening in people's bank accounts, by forcing business owners to go back to work despite the strike, I mean, he's basically taken dictatorial powers with his democratic rule. He's no longer following the Constitution, so the constitutional presidency of Chavez is null and void. Nevertheless, the international community continues to assert that it's the opposition that has to abide by the Constitution. They've never once said Chavez has to abide by the Constitution, which has many more provisions other than the electoral provisions. So I fear that this newfound revolution is going to fail. If it fails the second time, it's going to be very, very difficult to roust him out of office.
Well, of course, the Mugabe in Rhodesia was democratically elected. Of course, he fixed the whole election. And although America had promised that we would never allow it to happen, why, of course, we are allowing him to establish a dictatorship. Half the population's starving. The inflation rate's 140%. The whites have been forced off their land. The opposition is being systematically slaughtered. And of course, the rest of the world is doing absolutely nothing about it.
That's correct.
This is the man that we brought to power democratically in Rhodesia. And the fact we're really not intervening, and the fact that the countries of South America are going right along with the Marxists, well, so many of the leaders there are Marxists, and we brought them to power, and the American people don't understand we've brought them to power, because we're really not interested in establishing a free enterprise system. We're interested in putting into power people who go along with this New World Order, New World Religion bit.
Well, and certainly Mugabe isn't in that camp, so... You see, that does throw a monkey wrench in that theory. I've promoted that theory as well as an explanation of why certain hardliners or tyrannical leaders are allowed to stay and certain are ousted by the CIA. For example, we ousted Slobodan Milosevic now. He was a communist, and so is Mugabe. They preserve Mugabe, and they oust the Serbian leader. And there's got to be a reason. Why did they oust Allende in Chile and... Arbenz in Guatemala, and yet they allow Lula da Silva, the newly elected Marxist communist in Brazil, to stay. They've allowed Castro to stay for years. Well, behind the scenes, we know that oftentimes they do allow a leader who's socializing a country, which is necessary for promotion of a new world globalist order. You want as many socialist nations because the globalist order will be socialist. We know that there was a secret pact between Kennedy and Khrushchev on Cuba that preserved Castro from ever being overthrown by the United States government. The U.S. continues to abide by that, even though the Soviet Union has supposedly collapsed, which we know it hasn't, actually. It's a deception. Nevertheless, we have other Marxists coming to power in Latin America, such as in Ecuador. They've just elected a newly Marxist president, Lucio Gutierrez, claiming to be a champion of the poor, like Chavez. He was a coup leader before, on a failed coup, and finally was elected because of the turmoil which has been in Ecuador through U.S. intervention for many years. The opposition candidate, Alvaro Noboa, was a kingpin in the banana trade, very, very wealthy, so this really was pitting the pro-U.S. Appearance of imperialism against the champion of the people. Well, he really is no champion of the poor, of course. He's going to live in luxury like all other communist presidents once he gets elected. But what's disturbing, Dr. Stan, is that we now have four openly Marxist, communist, pro-communist leaders in Latin America, and the rest of the countries are closer than we think to that, other than Chile, because they all have social unrest. They're all getting very, very tired of the arm twisting from the IMF and the World Bank on their financial affairs. in the name of globalism and trade, of course, they're requiring a great deal of free market economic reforms, which in and of themselves are good, except all of these countries are over the hill in terms of their ability to pay this international debt. So none of them can actually go back to a free market policy without some form of repudiation of that debt.
And I think that's really so important, Joel, the fact that we have indebted all of these countries and then make them really subservient to the International Monetary Fund. And the whole idea of the IMF and the World Bank is to push this Marxist concept. They talk a lot about a free enterprise system. But of course, what they do is when they come in, many times if a country follows their policies, they get deeper and deeper in debt. And of course, there is no opportunity for the people ever to reclaim their freedom.
Well, that's right. And it's not that they're going to get their freedom. You know, the people have become benefit corrupted by the degree of socialism that they have. They demand those benefits. No government can get elected without promising more benefits. They simply cannot deliver without a continual infusion of foreign funds, and that foreign funds results in financial bondage. The financial bondage, in turn, creates a hatred of the United States vis-a-vis the IMF and the World Bank, which are viewed as tools, rightly so, of the United States foreign policy. And therefore, all of this is engendering a continued call for Marxist solutions. Marxist solutions include repudiation of that debt, and that's becoming very, very popular.
And so really what you're describing is the dialectic, the two sides, the American side and the Marxist side, and constantly in battle, and then, of course, maybe we'll accept the third way.
That's correct. In other words, we want social unrest, we want conflict, we want revolution, so that we can come in with a solution, and that's the only reason why, as I was speaking of earlier, that our government finally comes in and overthrows the communist leaders. When they get so radical, they project the people or produce a reaction which has them call for a pro-New World Order moderate, such as Vicente Fox in Mexico.
All right, Five. We're going to be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen. When we get back, we'll tell you how to get his very special publication, The World Affairs Brief. But right now, of course, I just want to mention that Radio Liberty does carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we can't make any claims about them, but I will tell you many of our listeners say that they've really helped them in many ways. And one thing we can tell you is it's excellent soap, and there's a regular soap and a moisturizing soap, which I've used for years. And then, of course, there's a neutral which some people say helps them as far as their heartburn is concerned. I know my wife takes that on a regular basis. There's a lotion and a gel, which I certainly have used the gel and been very, very happy with it. Now, if you'd like to get the Miracle 2 soap products or learn more about them, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you have children in a government school, and of course they can't read phonetically, they may be able to read, look, see, but if they can't read phonetically, they can't spell, they can't pronounce words, and of course you need to get a Phonopoly set, which is a really 5 board games and 2 bonus games and 2 extra books which we throw in, and it'll teach a child in 16 to 20 hours how to read phonetically, how to pronounce words, and of course begin to spell phonetically. It's a wonderful gift for your children, your grandchildren. Most of these programs, $300 or $400. This is one's $139.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We put together 2 great 4 tape sets. One is my 4 interviews with Craig Heimbichner, going into the background of Masonry, the occult in the United States. It's called Aleister Crowley and His Friends. That's Aleister Crowley and His Friends, to give you a tremendous insight into the occult world that dominates the world in which we live. And the other is has to do with the health secrets, and of course goes along with Russell Blaylock's book, Health Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Our 4 tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination.
a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Joel Skousen. Joel, how can people get World Affairs Brief?
Well, the best way to review the process is to go to my website, www.joelskousen.com, spelled J-O-E-L-S-K-O-U-S-E-N. There's a section there on World Affairs Brief, as well as my other books on security, and they should especially take time to read the strategic threat analysis of the threats of the coming decade, prominently displayed in a blue banner on the front page. If they don't have access to the Internet, they should call my office during working hours at area code 801-224-4746. And I have a print edition of the World Affairs Brief that comes out at the end of each month, and I will send out several copies and samples for their review.
All right, fine. That's 801-224-4746. 801-224-4746, or, of course, joelskousen.com. Well, you know, of course, it would appear then that the people in Venezuela are sort of getting tired of what's going on there, and there seems to be a growing relationship between the new Marxist ruler of Brazil and the new Marxist ruler of what is it, Ecuador, and then Fidel Castro.
Yes, Gutierrez and Ecuador.
Aren't they sort of all getting together and helping one another?
It really is true. They've all had a large entourage. All four leaders have shown up at the other inaugurations for the others. They came to Castro came to Lula in the inauguration in Brazil, and they went to Gutierrez in Ecuador. So there is a solidarity being shown. And what people fail to realize, by the way, you'll never see the word Marxist or communist referring to either Lula or Gutierrez. The press insists on calling them simply center-left or leftist, even Marxist is too strong for them, but these people are actually allied with Castro and are communists.
Have you ever noticed there are no left-wing extremists, there are only right-wing extremists?
Yes.
Have you ever noticed that there are no left-wing radicals, there are only right-wing radicals?
Well, what's even more bothersome to me is when they continue to put Nazis, which is National Socialism, on the right hand of the political spectrum.
Anybody who doesn't believe there's control over our media just has to look at those two very, very simple things. Or so many of the television programs that are produced overseas and could be shown in the American market are not allowed to be shown here simply because of the degree of control that exists over the major media outlets and ultimately over what the American people think. But that's a subject for another day. If you're out there in the listening audience, you'd like to talk to Joel, our number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Well, is there anything else we should cover? What's going to happen in Central America? What's going to happen as far as the oil there is concerned? What's going to happen to the overall rights of the individual there? And will there be an election next August, or will they do as they have in so many other Marxist countries when it comes to time for elections, why they simply kill off the opposition?
Well, I think the opposition is too big in Venezuela to eliminate. I think there will be a referendum held in August, and it will. Chavez is going to have to do some real vote manipulation. He'll probably call on Jimmy Carter, our naive Nobel Prize-winning ex-president, to come down there and give his stamp of approval to the sham of election that it will be. If he's able to pull off a Mugabe-type election where Mugabe simply falsified in a massive way his past two elections, he'll be get a free ride in this referendum. But he's going to have to do something massive to overturn this if he lasts through. Or he may simply declare himself dictator. That wouldn't be beyond him as well. In any case, Venezuelan oil into the United States is in jeopardy as long as Chavez is in charge there, especially if we go to war and we have Russia or China opposing the war who have direct control over Venezuela. Now, in another subject before we move away from Latin America, I would like to cover something you may have discussed with your listeners before, and that is this insidious plan of Bush to sign an agreement with Mexico allowing Mexicans who, illegals who have been in the United States, to go back to Mexico and add their work year totals to Social Security totals and get Social Security living in Mexico, having never been a legal immigrant to the United States.
And of course, the truth of the matter is they haven't worked in the United States long enough to actually be entitled to Social Security benefits. So we simply magnanimously add in the years that they worked in Mexico, and that money didn't come to us, it went to the Mexican government, but that then qualifies them for our Social Security, and it's simply one more nail in the coffin of our retirement system.
I see there's no way that a president of the United States could view the dire straits that our Social Security system is in, reaching bankruptcy in a few years from now, not being able to pay us debt, having no reserve funds, only IOUs from the government. There's no way that a president of the United States could be doing this in the interest of the Social Security Trust Fund or the interest of the United States citizens. This has to be a hidden agenda involved in globalism, with Vicente Fox. It's the same reasoning that must be behind the move to provide another amnesty for illegal aliens, to continue to diminish American Anglo-Saxon roots here, American culture, and majorities that we have in the political process. We note now that the Latinos are the majority, or the largest minority in the United States. They've surpassed now blacks within the United States.
And all part of the plan, very carefully calculated by the Ford Foundation and the elite, to create a multicultural society so they can play one group against the other, as, of course, they move into a position of total power. Well, let's go to Nathan here, calling. But before we do go to Nathan, you know, this is really the most incredible thing. Is this really going to go through? Are the American people going to allow George Bush to have this, really as part of wealth redistribution from each according to their ability, to each according to their need? There's no justification legally for this. You and I couldn't get Social Security if we hadn't worked long enough to qualify, but you can if you're here illegally from Mexico. What sort of insanity is that?
I think you'll do it by executive order.
Well, I hope that will let people understand where George W. Bush is really coming from and where his loyalties really are.
I've never seen this Congress have enough guts to stand up to anything and overturn an executive order passed by Clinton or Bush.
Right, well, of course. Let's go to Nathan. Hi, Nathan. Question or comment?
Hi. Well, I have a comment, a quick comment, and then a question.
All right.
Well, the comment is I've been monitoring the propaganda. You were speaking of illegal immigration, and, of course, we have to make a distinction between people who are coming here to be Americans and people who are coming here to balkanize our society. But definitely those who are coming here to balkanize our society, I've been reading and monitoring the propaganda of the group called Aztlan, so-called, and they pretty much want to take California and literally make it Mexico. And boy, they're definitely promoting an agenda of hate, anti-Semitism, pretty much anything that isn't them. And from what I understand, they are making some kind of alliances with the Middle Eastern extremists.
Well, of course, basically they're hardline Marxists, fully supported by the Ford Foundation and, of course, the people of great wealth in this country. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know.
Well, they're hardline Nazis.
Right.
They're hardline something. I don't know what they are.
Right. Anything else you wanted to say?
Well, I have a question for Ms. In your opinion, the situation, and I'm actually going to take my, well, I don't know, but the situation where President Chavez is being destabilized, do you see the hidden hand of the elite, the Illuminati, or perhaps even in cahoots with other OPEC powers and fomenting strife there and trying to destabilize that situation?
I really don't. I know the strike people. I've been in contact with them. I've been an advisor in Latin America, so I have lots of contacts there. And this is legitimate anti-socialist, anti-Marxist revolution. Even though the The leaders are anti-socialist and anti-Marxist. Many of their supporters are benefit-corrupted socialist people who have been dissatisfied with Chavez. So it's not as strong as an opposition as I would like to see. They're not ideologically unified, but the leaders of them are definitely not towing a line by the Illuminati. They're simply a rising in opposition to something that is being preserved by our own government entities, State Department, et cetera, which are not supporting this opposition.
Okay, anything else, Nathan?
Well, I don't know enough to say, but it seems like even though they claim to oppose communism, that they're advancing the communist agenda and destabilizing Latin America, although, you know, as you said, I mean, a lot of them are benefits corrupted. A genuine constitutionalist movement, they're, you know, I'm definitely not in favor of the authoritarianism that Chavez seems to be practicing, and at least in many ways he seems to be practicing, but it seems to me a genuine movement would be constitutionalist and not mobocratic, but that sounds...
Well, it is. I don't know where you find it autocratic in the opposition. They really do want constitutional reforms that would restrict the kinds of socialist welfare distribution schemes that Chavez is promoting.
I don't really think we're getting the full picture here in America, but thanks so much, Nathan.
Sure.
Let's go to John calling from Syracuse. Hi, John. Did you have a question or comment?
Dr. Stan, can you hear me fine?
Yes, you can hear you fine.
Very good. The situation in Venezuela that you have been discussing off and on during the program today, and your guest, I had the opportunity to go down to Venezuela 6 months ago and visit a friend of mine who is sick down there. And I am amazed at your show because you're a very informative gentleman. There's a fella in New York State. His name was Nelson Rockefeller. He is now deceased, a former vice president that was non-elected to the vice presidency, and also a governor of New York that has tremendous holdings in Venezuela, some of the greatest holdings in the Standard Oil Trust of Venezuela. I called the editor of the Wall Street Journal and talked to him about it, and I'm surprised that your guest to that last answer he just gave that gentleman. The destabilization that's going on in Venezuela is because Standard Oil and the Rockefeller Foundation and Nelson Rockefeller, who had tremendous, I'm talking about massive holdings in Venezuela, has destabilized the country on purpose.
I see. All right. So you think that the bad guys are stabilizing and Chavez is the good guy. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, they're neither.
All right.
Neither. But why wouldn't you cover that?
All right. Well, we'll ask our guest in just a moment here. Thank you so much. How would you reply to John?
Well, the Standard Oil holdings were nationalized some years ago. That's why I don't think that comment is valid. There isn't any private interest in the oil company that has a majority stockholder share in anything in Venezuelan oil now. It's been nationalized.
Well, maybe John just isn't aware of that.
Well, it may not be. Certainly, we can never trust big oil interests to promote liberty, whether it's in the Middle East or in Venezuela. But I'm telling from personal knowledge of the opposition leaders, these people are not controlled by the... they will take funding if they get funding from oil companies who even have a minority stake, but that doesn't mean that they're controlled necessarily by them. It may be of mutual benefit to get rid of Chavez, but I know that there's some real people of principles there in the opposition.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Joel Skousen, but this is the time when I have to, of course, to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there across America listening to our program, we hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is try to get the truth out across America, from sea to shining sea. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, give us a call at 1-800-5- 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope many of you will want to get some of the books we have. We've got a great new book called Regicide. It's written by a man based upon the papers of Mr. Robert Crowley, who was the deputy director or assistant director of covert operations for the CIA. We have a great new 4-tape set going into health secrets. And, of course, you need to get this information because it will tell you how to build up your immune system. It goes along with health and nutrition secrets that can save your life by Russell Blaylock. We carry the book, and, of course, we carry the tape set that goes along with that. We have a great new tape set on the occult movement in America called Aleister Crowley and His Friends. We hope that you'll give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and seriously consider getting those items. We also hope if you'd like to get a newsletter, free newsletter, and you haven't had one before, give us a call. We'll get it off to you. But call our telephone number right now.
Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught under a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, The Rules of Engagement is currently unavailable through regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Joel Skousen, and of course our telephone number, if you'd like to call, you have a question or a comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And really, of course, what's happening today is the administration is doing nothing to really seal our borders. Why are they bringing in all the Mexicans people from south of the border? I mean, Mexicans, many of them are wonderful people, and those who come here legally, we welcome, and many of them are hardworking citizens. But there is also a revolutionary group, as certainly as Nathan was talking about, that want to actually seize the property of California and New Mexico and Arizona and Texas, and I forgot one other state. And they say this is all stolen from the Mexicans, you know, a couple of hundred years ago. And they intend by revolution to take this over. And they are being funded with your tax money. And you have to understand that everything is being done to foment dissent and within our society so that they can play one group against the other and then, of course, ultimately seize power that way. It's a very, very clever method. It's been used for many years. It's going on right in America, and the average individual has no idea what's going on. Anything else you'd like to talk about as far as South or Central America is concerned?
No, I would just like to echo your comments about Azatlan movement. It's really a thug-type organization that's meant to create social unrest. It has no hopes. They don't have any hopes of being able to turn California, New Mexico, and Arizona back to Mexico. In fact, they'd want clear up into Utah and Nevada. But it's simply a front organization for other forces that are meant to create discontent in the United States and racial hatred.
Right, and of course, anybody who thinks that communism is dead probably it just had to be incredibly naive. I mean, you go into some of these restaurants right in our community, and they've got the pictures of Fidel Castro and Che Guevara up on the wall. And of course, these are the people they really want to emulate. Well, now, you know, what's your take on the war, the coming war, as far as Iraq is concerned? You know, apparently this weekend is going to be the time when the president says he wants, you know, a definite answer. He's going to go ahead. You know, whether the inference is it doesn't matter what the United Nations says. We're going to go alone because we've got to get Saddam Hussein out of power. And I don't understand what all the urgency is about.
Well, you know, what I'm writing about for this week's brief is about the credibility gap Bush's credibility gap is just sinking fast, both on the issue of Iraq and North Korea. It's interesting that rather than appear more conciliatory and realize, gee, we're really glad the inspections aren't turning up anything, maybe we won't have to go to war after all. He may be verbalizing that war is not our first option, but everything he says, everything he does, looks like it's going in the other direction, that war is inevitable. His verbiage gets more gruff, more angry, more in your face. His comments this week, which were broadcast all over television about this is a rerun of a bad movie and it's a movie I don't want to watch. And those kinds of attitudes are giving him this continued cowboy image in the world. The British are just excoriating Bush now in the press. I'll have to read you an interesting quote that came out of The Observer out of London by Andrew Ronsley. He was quoting what he said was an Atlanticist, meaning pro-Atlantic Charter, pro-UN, liberal leftist labor MP, who was saying, I got no hang-ups about removing Saddam Hussein. I've got no hang-ups about joining the U.S. in military action. He says, it's following that cowboy that I find so hard to stomach. And it really is these off-the-cuff, gruff, non-diplomatic growlings of George Bush that is really turning down a sensitive Europe. Another conservative MP ended up stating here, George Bush is like a child running around with a grenade with the pin pulled out.
Well, you almost feel that maybe he wants to know what John Wayne would do under these circumstances, but this is really
well,
no
John
laughing.
Wayne was a different personality. I mean, this is not John Wayne or someone who's truly patriotic and understands. This is a globalist,
oh, of course
in my
he
opinion,
is.
Appearing as if he's acting in U.S. interest, but it's very clear also that he has an ulterior motive, and I think part of that ulterior motive is to capture for globalist purposes part of the OPEC oil supply. But nevertheless, there's a larger globalist agenda that we've discussed before in your program, and that is creating conflict, and this is certainly creating the impetus for worldwide conflict because the U.S. is going to appear as the bully of the world, and the rest of the world, even Europe itself is getting very, very tired of this type of image of the U.S. How did one of them put it? It's like, I think it was William Rivers Pitt talked about, there's a bad boy running around uncontrolled, and the world wants him put in a box, and that bad boy is George Bush. It's not looking like this is the image of the real, true liberator anymore. This is a person that without any verifiable confirmation of his threat scenario about Iraq is going to go to war with the country and destroy it. And I'm afraid it's going to engender a huge backlash around the world.
Well, I know that the people, and we get reports directly from Great Britain, and the people of England don't want to go to war. I mean, 95% of them don't want to go to war. The only person who wants to go to war is Tony Blair, and he's part of the Anglo-American establishment. He's a dedicated Fabian socialist and working very, very closely with the globalists over here. And certainly this is true of Europe. We're going to antagonize the Muslims from throughout the world. And I really fear, that this is going to have terrible, terrible repercussions. There is no way to justify a preemptive war under the idea, well, that sometime in the future, Saddam Hussein may get some weapons of mass destruction and he may use them against us. Well, if he may use them against us in the future, why should we think that if he has them, he's not going to use them now if we push him to the wall? And that's apparently what we're doing.
Well, look at this in comparison to Bush's continuing softening response on the Korean front.
Right.
We talk about talk soft and carry a big stick. Well, there's no big stick in sight here. He makes a token show of force by moving one U.S. aircraft carrier from the Japan Okinawa Straits over to the Korean Straits. But it doesn't appear he's going to use it to stop missile proliferation. U.S. intelligence came out this week to indicate that it appears that North Korea is building up a large stockpile on the docks to ship Scud missiles elsewhere. And I think they're doing that specifically because they may fear some type of military pressure and want to get their missiles delivered to the Middle East. But they've got clients scheduled delivers to Iran, Iraq, Syria, Libya, and Egypt. Now, these are countries that already have thousands of missiles in total except for Iraq, which has maybe a dozen missiles. And so here we're allowing continued weapons proliferation around the world for a country that it is an open violation of its agreement to stop weapons proliferation, and there's no consequences for it.
And, of course, what most Americans don't know is we've been shipping humanitarian aid over there because we're so concerned about the people starving. But it hasn't been going to the people. It's been keeping the military fed so they wouldn't revolt. And, of course, we've been providing a fuel oil over there because we're so concerned, you know, that they have to have fuel oil. Do you really think that's going to heat the homes of the poor people? Well, we have been keeping this regime in power all the time. We're blustering against it. But then what else is new? Let's go to... Go ahead.
Go ahead. Do you want, need a call?
No, I was just going to go to somebody else, but do you have a comment on that?
Yes, you know, it's interesting that the U.S. is continuing food aid, despite the fact that it's been proven by aid agencies that have pulled out of North Korea that that food aid is used selectively. No food aid goes to anyone who isn't 100% supporter of the Pyongyang regime or the Communist Party. In other words, the non-communists get starved to death. So it's used as a weapon there. In addition, instead of turning around the existing tanker ships that were going to oil, ship oil to North Korea, they allowed those to go ahead into port and dock instead of turning them around.
Even after they found out that they had lied about their nuclear proliferation.
And last of all, they have continued, I stress this, Dr. Stan, we have not even stopped the $10 billion flow of money going to this new nuclear reactor project. We are continuing to support that because even South Korea and Japan want it because they have large contracts to help build this reactor. So they want the U.S. to continue to support this other nuclear reactor for China, even though they are in violation of the agreement which caused this funding to go forth. So the U.S. is not giving them any consequences, in fact, allowing the proliferation to occur.
Sometimes you think we're creating the best enemies that our tax money can buy. Let's go to Charlie calling from Pittsburgh. Hi, Charlie.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Doing fine. A quick question. We're just about out of time.
Yeah, I never underestimate these people. I just wonder if this guy's appearing to be out of control and going on his own to actually throw more credibility to the UN. I guess you can see that I'm cynical about anything they do.
You're talking about President Bush.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is, you know, we know where it's going. You take a country that's... 1.5 times as big as the United States as the Soviet Union is, and has a gross national product like 1/4 that of France, with all the natural resources they have. I mean, it's really incredible how they've been able to pull this off and how ignorant we've been.
Well, either that or our leaders know exactly what they're doing. They
just want
the American people to. We have funded communism since 1918, and we're continuing to fund it today, and communism is alive and well in Russia. Certainly the military is under the communist control, the KGB is under their control, the Duma is under their control. And the only people who don't know it are the American suckers who are funding. And every time you read the Wall Street Journal, there's always an article, we're given the $50 million or $20 million or $5 million under one guise or another. Hey, thanks so much, Charlie. Bye-bye. We're out of time. Joel, do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, this deception continues, but I'm convinced that we're going to see the United States purposely looked very bad so that the United States will look good in the aftermath of this coming World War conflict.
You're speaking of the United Nations will look good.
I'm sorry, the United Nations is meant to be looking good as the real peacemaker, and I think the United States' attentions will be forced to throw their support behind the UN when the U.S. gets attacked on a world basis.
Well, all we can do is hope and pray that maybe something that you say or something that I say may at least wake up a few people.
Yes.
God bless you. Thanks so much, Joel.
Thank you, Sam.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Joel Skousen. I hope you enjoyed the program. I always enjoy having Joel on because I think he has an excellent grasp of the geopolitics of what is transpiring and also of the true spiritual nature of the battle. Because remember, behind all that foes have plotted, behind all that saints have planned, behind the schemes of men and demons is a higher hidden hand. And that's really what it's all about. And we better understand that. There's the hand of Satan and the hand of God. And Satan is alive and well, despite the fact we never talk him about in churches today. And so until tomorrow at the same time, please pray for America. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our ministers. Pray for revival. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until... tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.
Yesterday's program and then the tapes.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll get it. Thank you.